The West has tens of thousands of wild horses, and sometimes it seems there are almost as many opinions on what to do with them. In a new podcast, Mustang, Ashley Ahern examines controversies surrounding the horses and what works to train one of them. We're bringing you a special series from the Mountain West News Bureau that Ashley adapted from her podcast. So in part one, she introduces us to these wild horses and the myths surrounding them.
I remember the first time I visited a government holding facility for wild horses. It was in Burns, Oregon, and I was there because I was thinking about adopting a wild horse. The federal government rounds up thousands of horses and keeps them in large corrals until they're adopted out. Some live out their days in captivity. David Phillips is a Pulitzer Prize-winning reporter for the New York Times and author of the book Wild Horse Country. I asked him about his first visit to the government corrals near Colorado Springs, where he lives. The Bureau of Land Management was holding an adoption fair, inviting the public to come bid on Mustangs and take them home.
And, to be honest, I didn't even know that wild horses still existed, let alone that they were being auctioned off by the federal government.
At the end of the day, Phillips asks how many horses were adopted. Only four, he's told. And, he finds out, there are more than 50,000 wild horses in government-holding facilities around the country.
And I was just gobsmacked. You know, I just kept thinking, how did we get into this situation?
Okay, so 50,000 Mustangs in government-holding facilities. But there are more than 80,000 out there roaming wild. And that, if you ask many biologists, is way more horses than the land can support. Almost three times too many horses, in fact. There are many different and conflicting ideas about how to manage wild horses. Some ranchers and biologists believe wild horse numbers need to be kept in check, and the government should round more of them up. Activists believe the horses should be left alone to run free. So the activists sue the BLM to prevent it from rounding up wild horses. Ranchers sue the BLM to force it to do the roundups. And a lot of other people wring their hands and worry about all the taxpayer dollars that are spent keeping horses in long-term holding facilities.
You know, this is a volatile issue. It's been described as one of the most wicked natural resource issues of this century.
Utah State University professor Terry Messmer has been studying the wild horse conflict for decades.
This is a crisis. It's a crisis not only involving ecology, but it's a crisis involving our ability to communicate and to relate to each other as individuals.
So that's what brought me to the BLM corrals outside of Burns, Oregon last year. I wanted to give a Mustang a home. And there was one little black horse with a bright white spot on his forehead that caught my eye. I have a video on my phone of him from that first day.
Hey, handsome. What you doing? I'm just looking.
It's hard to describe, but I just had a feeling he was the one. So I had him taken to a different facility to get some initial training, basically just to be able to get a halter on his head so I could attempt to take him home. When the cowboys were working him, I watched as he just ran and thrashed around until he was lathered white with sweat. It was hard to see. I waited until he'd stopped racing and was just standing frozen with fear, and I climbed over the fence.
Good boy, yeah.
I walked up to him slowly until we were standing shoulder to shoulder.
Be brave.
I focused on taking deep breaths and calming my body, because horses pick up on all the signals we don't even realize we're sending. And then I reached up and gently touched his neck. And he flinched, but he didn't run.
And I can tell he's nervous, but he just licked and chewed a little bit, which means he's relaxing. And I just want this horse to know that he's safe with me and that we're gonna be friends for a long time.
This horse and I are on a journey together now. And getting to know him has also been about getting to know his world, both the context and the conflict that surrounds the wild horse issue. I'm Ashley Ahern for the Mountain West News Bureau.
Thanks so much for listening to Idaho Matters. Boise State Public Radio and Idaho Matters are members of the NPR Network. It's an independent coalition of public media podcasters. You can find more shows in the network wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Gemma Gaudette. We'll see you tomorrow.
Did you know you are physically adapting to all your swiping, scrolling, and tapping?
We're changing our bodies and what they're able to do through our habits.
NPR's Body Electric, a special interactive series investigating how to fix the relationship between our tech and our health. Listen in the TED Radio Hour feed wherever you get your podcasts.